Hello and welcome to Bad Boy Cinema. I'm your host, Rick Reel, and today I have with me my lovely co-host, who is doing a very funny bit with a terrible hat during the intro, Mr. Elliot Film. Elliot Great Film, how bit. Are you? Yeah, no, Great it was a good bit. And when he showed me that hat on the pre-show, which is it's like a little top hat that's like a black and white kind of two-tone sort of vibe from the early 2010s, almost certainly. Very, very dated in that time. But I was like, once the music started playing, I was like, oh, I know what the hat's for. He's gonna do the little top hat, old timey dance, because we dance during, you know, for the folks at home who are watching this in audio format, which is to say listening. We're up to date, you know, we're up to date.
We're catching up after being cryogenically frozen. In unknown year, but approximately 1920. Let's say 1924.
Yeah, it's just a nice 100. That's an even number.
Yeah,
easy to do math. Easy to kind of figure out where we are, you know, chronologically.
Yeah, the biggest film space time from the biggest film is Birth of a Nation. Birth of a Nation goes crazy. Anyway, that's not what the film we're talking about this week. This week, as you may know, we're discussing...
Through the power of reading the title of the episode.
Or any other powers you may have. Could be Who's divine to say? Intervention. You could be a medium. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for you. But this is the 2005 film Mr. and Mrs. Smith, directed by Doug L. What are your thoughts on this film?
My first thought, you know, even though I have only recently come out of the cryogenic freeze, right? But hypothetically, let's say I've been watching movies for 30 years.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Hypothetically. They don't really make movies like this anymore.
Very true. What a charm to this film.
Well, and what strikes me about it as being not even a novel concept, you know, but as a fun flick, perhaps, is that it feels less like, you know, an action movie. There's certainly action scenes in this movie, which is, basic plot synopsis is that two rival spies are married to each other and they don't know until, you know, the beginning of the second act of the film. And then, you know, then there's hijinks involved, right? But their marriage is struggling in the beginning of the movie. And then, you know, through the course of their hijinks, and their ability to be honest with one another, they kind of you know, reconcile at the end, and it's very nice. But it tracks more like a romantic comedy that's just told in the language of an action movie, which I think is interesting.
This film is a very underrated genre of horny violence.
It wasn't that. Well, I mean, I guess it is a little horny, but it was kind of like a mutual horny, you know?
Yeah, it's like
some are there for Brad Pitt, some are there for Angelina Jolie.
This is absolutely a movie for the bisexuals.
Sure.
I mean, what bisexual doesn't love this movie? That's my question.
I'm sure the readership will let us know. Listenership, readership, what am I talking about?
Yeah, books were a lot bigger when we got frozen.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, the radio was kind of...
Yeah, we were going to just new. Dictate this. We weren't going to do a scribe. We were just going to dictate this to a scribe. But apparently you can do this now.
That's way easier. And then all those scribes scribe are probably is a way robot. Out of business. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say great film, but a film. The one main thing that I want to complain about this film, some of the worst audio mixing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, the audio mixing wasn't great, and I wasn't really like blown away with, you know, the presentation. The cinematography was kind of whatever. Yeah. And I thought the lighting was in a lot of ways, this film was very modern in the sense that you couldn't really see a whole lot that was going on, and it sounded bad, which seems to be how movies are these days.
Yeah. The amount of times I got up to adjust the volume on the little dial up and down throughout the film, absurd. I felt like I was running a marathon.
Music by John Powell.
The soundtrack of this film. What are you doing?
It was pretty all over the place.
Baffling choices.
Yeah. And it has a 3.5-star rating. The professional rating is 3.5 stars on AllMusic for the soundtrack of this film. Which it kind of is in line with the entire film. It's a very much a 3 out of 5. You know, if it's on an airplane or on TV, I'm sure that's a good time. Imagine going to the theater and seeing this movie. And it was like the 7th highest grossing film of 2005, which is crazy.
Yeah.
For such a nothing burger movie. And the whole thing reeks of like a guy who's like getting divorced, you know? And he's like, yeah. What if like we were trying to actually kill each other instead of just figuratively kill each other?
Yeah. But I will say, kind of a feminist mistress piece in how completely Angelina Jolie is better in every way.
Yeah, but like Brad would seem like a more fun hang.
Yeah, because...
When did they get divorced?
Well, they weren't even married when this film came out. This is when Brad was with Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston watched this movie and sobbed for a month. Our marriage is over.
Wait, they only got married in 2014, I thought, and they divorced in 2019, Angelina and Brad. I thought they were together
way earlier.
Way earlier than that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long they were courting each other.
Yeah, they're hanging out for a while, like as unmarried.
They've known, they've been in a working relationship for some time. It's a time. It's a fun flick. I think controversial take. So this movie is roughly 2 hours long, which is not the correct runtime for this film.
It should have been a little shorter if I... Are you in disagreement? Also, no, why was Vince Vaughn in this movie? That was what was so baffling to me is like, you know, he's just kind of there as like a funny guy who's just around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, you know, that's great. And then it just felt so tonally out of place. And then in the third act when it was like, oh, the both spy agencies are going after Bradgelina, right? I was like, oh, was it kind of like a red herring to think he was just like a goofy comedy guy and Vince Vaughn's gonna secretly like be the mastermind of everything and he's like the one pulling the strings, and then he just ended up just still being the funny comedy guy. Yeah. I might have been the only person who was like, oh yeah, this was like an unguessable twist, except to me a genius, and then it that's not what it was at all.
Yeah, not even the writer could have guessed that twist.
Yeah, I gave the movie too much credit for like half a second. I was like, oh, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, I will say, I don't know if this counts as a plot hole, but Vince Vaughn is very clearly Brad Pitt's boss in this film. Angelina Jolie seems to be the head of her organization.
At least very high up, because I think the Arbiter, because the voice of the Arbiter seemed to be
Keith David, who has uncredited. Yeah, he has like 8 words in this film.
But I was like, oh hell yeah, that's off classic. Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, the Arbiter, sick.
I guess Keith David called in the hit on Angelina, Jane Smith, as it were. Yeah, what a flick. I think that, so 2 hours is not the correct runtime for this film.
No, not at all.
And you could definitely cut out some of the second half where it's just quirky action And it's like
they could have really cut out a lot of the action. I don't think you're really missing.
Yeah, you could say that. But I think that's the appeal of this film. I think you cut out more of the story. I think because the first half of the movie is like set up, and then the second half is just all action scenes. The movie got a lot better once they stopped doing plot.
I kind of like the plot. I like the cutaways to the therapist office where they're like talking about their marriage. I thought that was fun. But no, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of agree that they spent a little bit too much time like going through like how they don't know like the other person, or they're not aware of the other person's secrets. They spend a lot of time kind of lingering on that idea. Like if I were to do this, I would say you go out of the gate just doing goofy comedy they should lean more into goofy comedy hijinks where they don't know what the other person really is. For that should have been really the whole movie. And then like the part where they find out and then resolve that should have been like the last 20 minutes.
Are you suggesting that this film could have ended when they had sex?
Like honestly, yeah, I think that could have just been the end of the movie and that would have been fine.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. I think the way that it's structured now, you don't need to see both of them do a solo mission and then both do a mission where they're both there.
And no, the whole movie should just be them doing missions that are the same mission and they're just barely missing each other while like, you know, trying to maintain their marriage on the side. It just gets increasingly more difficult. And then you do the part where they have to, you know, shoot each other or whatever, and then they make up, and then that's the end of the movie. You don't even have to do the entire third act where it's like, oh, the spy agencies are going to get them, and they have to work together.
Yeah, I don't know if I get that storyline, really. Why do they?
That's why I kept thinking, I was like, oh, like Vince Vaughn's behind everything, and then it's, because I'm like, this movie doesn't have an antagonist. The antagonist is just like a lack of information.
I don't know. I think this movie could have used a little bit more time in the cooker. It may be, as this this is a remake of a 1941 Alfred Hitchcock vehicle, could be a result of that. I haven't seen that version.
I'd be interested to see, because there is going to be the TV remake starring Donald Glover.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
I believe this year, which
I've been getting.
Maybe it'll be fine. Maybe it'll be okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been getting notifications on my Telegram about that. And I don't know. I feel like it's here. I feel like they said I could watch it now, but I didn't because I had to watch the film first. The picture, before I look at the silver screen. Is it silver screen is film?
It is film. Yeah, what's the golden screen?
That's a great question. I guess we haven't invented the golden screen yet. We're just like leaving room. It's like the people who invented vitamins were like, we have to do like 7 B vitamins, there's going to be so many, and then they just like ran out and like, oh fuck, sure, and I had 12 B vitamins.
If anything, they went through like all the letters and they're like, oh shit, like we've got way more vitamins than 26. So let's just start.
I don't know that
loading up seen 12 B vitamin, you know, and then
yeah, but I don't know that out. I've ever seen like a vitamin H, vitamin G, vitamin W.
That's probably an R for the best. I don't think if you have to take those, I think you're in bad shape.
If you've heard of these vitamins, I think
the further you go down,
you just got to pack it in.
Yeah, like if you're having to do a vitamin T, like you're in rough shape.
Yeah.
Back to Brad and Angelina's relationship, because I mean, and I thought at this point, me being an idiot, an uninformed fool, I was like, oh yeah, they're clearly already married, and this is like a fun little movie that's like. Yeah. The gag is that they're married IRL, right? Because the chemistry was certainly there, but no, they were not married IRL at all. Because yeah, at the time of the film,
Brad Pitt was married to Jennifer Aniston, and then they divorced the same year that this came out because presumably she watched this film.
Well, so I think the film came out in I don't want Brad Pitt. When this was released June 7th in 2005. Mm-hmm. And according to Wikipedia's page for Brad Pitt, he and Jennifer separated. Divorce was filed early 2005. So... And apparently in April 2005, which is 1 month after Aniston filed for divorce, according to Wikipedia, the paparazzi got pictures of Angelina and Brad Pitt together. And I guess also her son Maddox.
Right.
Of course.
So I assume... No, I'm not TMZ. I don't have the exact scoop. And I was not alive while this was going on.
Right.
Legally speaking. But I would assume Jennifer Aniston got an early cut of this film and then filed for divorce. I think that this film was pivotal to their divorce. And
you know, I bet their divorce is probably why this film did so well.
Yeah, probably as well. That's probably part of it. Because this movie did kill in the box office.
How much did this cost to make?
110 mil.
Oh, that's pretty good.
For Brad and Angelina, they're both making big bank. Vince Vaughn's making, $30,000. Kerry Washington, I mean, an icon of the film industry.
Keith David.
Just cast alone, this is, 90 million. And then, you got 20 million left over for action scenes. And then it made almost 500 million at the box office. So, I think it did well. This is considered a hit, even by Hollywood math standards.
I still don't really understand Hollywood math too well. It's all money laundering to me, but
yeah, it is. Now that I'm looking at the list of what beat this film in 2005, I mean, what are you gonna do?
What beat it?
Harry Potter 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, oh, I'm looking at
Star Wars 3, Chronicles of Narnia, War of the Worlds. I mean, War of the Worlds. An icon of a film, I'm sure. King Kong, Madagascar. Beat Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Batman Begins. Suck on that, Tim Burton. And
Hitch. Now, Hitch would be a great film to cover on this podcast.
Absolutely. I was just about to say, we got to do Hitch.
Yeah, that's a classic, a movie you watch on an airplane.
Is it?
Well, it is to me because I think I've seen it like twice on an airplane.
I don't think I've ever seen Hitch. I believe that's Kevin James and Will Smith.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin
James. It's a good movie.
What's he up to? He's doing stand-up.
Is he?
Yeah, this dude's in a lot
of stuff. Are they not doing like a remake of... The King of Queens,
Zookeeper or something. You ever watch? We got to do Zookeeper. I have no idea.
Hitch is another like 3.5-star movie.
Yeah, he did. That's Kevin crazy. Can Wait. That's the show that he did, where he had a different wife in that show, and then season two, he's like, "We're just gonna recast that as Leah Remini." So they're not redoing King of Queens, but they're redoing King of Queens. He's also apparently on the show The Crew, where I'm noticing, I'm looking at his filmography. His name is Kevin in a lot of films. It's almost as if he's like not good at acting and he forgets. Interesting stuff. Oh, Hitch was nominated for a Teen Choice Award. That's it's crazy. Twice. Two nominations.
Did you say twice? No, I'm just kidding.
Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, Kevin James is not what this is about. This is about John and Jane Smith.
The Smiths.
The Smith family.
Yeah. No kids. Yeah, a lot of little quippy lines in this movie, which I think probably came off better, you know, 20 years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But after, you know, because you might say, well, Joss Whedon and the Avengers really, they invented little quippy dialogue during action scenes. And I would say, no, I would say Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I think
they kind of invented it.
I said this during the film. Now this can't be true, but I'm going to say that it's true. I think this film invented We've Got Company.
I also think they invented Watch My Six, which I know is not true, but he said in the movie, I was like,
nice. It
might have been novel back then. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say so far out what was being said at the time and what's new. But a lot of great lines. Angelina Jolie yelling pussy. That was great. That was perhaps the best scene in cinema.
Yeah, I liked Angelina Jolie just kind of being mean to Brad Pitt.
Yeah. And when she said, "Who's your daddy?" I was like, you know what? Angelina Jolie, why don't you lock me in an elevator and drop it 80 stories?
That was crazy that he got out of that alive.
Yeah, they didn't really explain what it was.
They didn't. The movie is a collection of scenes that seem vaguely disconnected from each other. Just like a bunch of things just happen, you know. And granted, I was watching the movie while I was at work on my phone, so you know I wasn't paying as much attention as I paid Heather's, but. You know, for this movie's credit, there's nobody with eyebrows in this movie that really pissed me off. Slater is not present, which is a positive.
I mean, Adam Brody is in this film.
Yeah, the casting, you know, made a big deal, but I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
Isn't Jennifer's Body? Who is he in that?
I don't know. We got to do Jennifer's Body, actually. Maybe we
eventually. I saw it I saw it 22, so I probably need to wait a little bit before I can put that in the oven and watch it, you know.
All right. I've never seen it, but I wanted to. Yeah.
I feel like if you like Heather's, you'd like Jennifer's Body.
Yeah. I assume that's going to be a 10 out of 10 film for me, but. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
What is this film for you out of 10?
This film out of 10, I would say is a 4.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's a solid. I think it's like a 6 out of 10. It's fine. It's not a good movie, but it's a fun movie. Did I sell you?
Let me be honest. I think it's a 4. No, it's a fun movie. It did take me 2 days to watch. It's dated in certain ways. And in some ways that it's dated, I find charming. Like the shots of the neighborhood. I'm like, this is just a different time. This is a different world. They don't make movies like this anymore.
They don't make movies like that anymore, so they don't make movies that like that anymore in the sense that it's shot in a real place.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You know, that always blows my mind when I see a movie in a real location. I'm like, wow.
Well, that's This is outside, filmmaking. Actually. That's a real house, dude. Somebody lived there at one point.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And yet, in a lot of ways, the movie, it just with the quips and the fact that it looks like shit and sounds like shit, in a lot of ways, it's actually not dated at all. And it's very much of this era, you know?
Yeah.
But then still dated, because like if it came out in like 2018, then I would be like, oh, this is capturing the cultural zeitgeist. But I think they were already filed divorce, Brad and Angelina, in 2016. But it didn't happen until 2019. Sounds like they should have never got married. Sounds like this movie kind of ruined their lives.
Sure. I don't know. I'll say that we should do a lot more Jolie films. I think I might be a Jolie head.
I didn't realize I think she's a good actress now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like she's like I get why she was a thing.
Yeah.
Cuz I was just like, oh yeah, she's you know, Brad Pitt's ex-wife, but you know, she's like pretty. Well, yeah. Actually, no, I liked her in
Loved her in The Eternals, Shark Tale, dude.
Uh-huh.
I thought she was sick in Shark Tale and Hackers. That's about it. I don't think I've seen any of her other films.
What other films has she been in recently?
Girl Interrupted. Recently, like not much.
Nothing. Yeah. Maleficent, I was like, The Eternals might have been the last thing that she saw. Yeah. That was maybe the most recent film that she's been in is The Eternals.
Yeah, I believe so. She's on her
she'll be in Kung Fu Panda.
Like, humanitarian. 4. Yo, shout out Kung Fu Panda. We're not gonna on this, but
oh, are we not? Those are great movies.
You want to do Kung Fu Panda?
I want to do all of them. I think we do. I think when Kung Fu Panda 4 comes out, I think we do a Kung Fu Panda month, and we do one, we do two, we do three, and then we go to the theater. We see Kung Fu Panda 4 with Awkwafina, unfortunately.
Hmm. Now that's an idea.
It is a idea.
I have seen Kung Fu Panda the first, and my memory of that film is the ads for it were everywhere, and every ad, the whole commercial for it was Jack Black saying skadoosh. And that was the selling point for the film. And I don't think he says it in the movie. I watched it and I left being like, did he say skadoosh one time? Thought that was his catchphrase.
Oh my God, I'm being hit with that because I know what ad campaign you're talking about. Because yeah, it's like you're hit with that very Jack Black skadoosh, and the film is not like that at all, even though it wants to represent itself a certain way. That's crazy.
Yeah, so because of that, I've never seen the sequels. But I don't know. Maybe they're good.
I've seen like half of the second one.
Okay. Which half? The middle?
The first.
Okay.
It looked good. And the villain looked cool. He was like a peacock. And he had like some crazy ass little metal claws on his bird talon things. I mean, he was like he was armed to the teeth for a bird. You know? It was crazy.
He's got like a... knuckle dusters.
Yeah, I think. Because I'll be honest, I don't totally remember. But yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll believe anything that you say about that movie. I've never seen any part of it.
That's a shame.
Yeah. So if you can't tell, there's not a whole lot to say about Mr. and Mrs. Smith. This is...
It's fun. It was fine. It's a fun, you know, romantic comedy with a little bit of action.
This is like a rom-com, like in the Bourne Identity universe, I guess.
Yeah.
That's how I'll describe it.
Well, what did, what else did this this director of ours, our little friend
Doug
here,
L.
Doug he, L.
He's done a lot.
He did The Bourne Identity.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And Swingers.
Oh, that's probably why Vince Vaughn is in this film, because he did Swingers.
Oh, yeah. Go.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of Go. Edge of Tomorrow is a good film, though.
I want to see American that,
Made is a good film. We could do Edge of Tomorrow on this show.
No, it seems like a classic movie. Jumper.
I thought Jumper was Looper until just now.
I hear Jumper is bad. I hear Jumper is bad. And he directed the 2024 remake of Roadhouse, starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
which is an Amazon Prime exclusive film. He directed that weird fucking movie with Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland, where like time is all fucky or something.
Chaos Walking,
yeah, with Mads Mikkelsen.
I haven't seen it.
I remember seeing ads for it all the time. That's why I was going to the theaters a lot then, even though canonically I was in cryogenesis, but hypothetically, I was going to theaters a lot, just seeing the movies, you know, enjoying film.
I did get the surgically implanted movie package from the cryogenic freeze service.
We've been able to stay on top of all sorts of movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just have, like, I haven't actually seen them, but I have the memory of many films.
Yeah.
Name a film.
Not
that one.
Game Night.
I do have that one, yeah. That one's got Jesse Plemons.
It does.
And,
although he is not the main character.
No.
By a long shot.
No, but he's in it.
He is in it. And he is important, but he's not the main character.
Who else is in that film? Jason Sudeikis or something?
No, wrong Jason.
Jason Segel?
Nope. There's not a lot of Jasons to go through.
Yeah.
It would be in a movie like Game Night.
It's Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember.
I think Jason Bateman's name. Great. What else?
It's kind of a Jason Schwartzman vehicle. Like, Jason Bateman is in it, but it should have been Jason Schwartzman. Yeah. I don't think that we'll do this film anytime soon, but. That's fine.
Yeah, that's like year two of this podcast, for sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. We should say more about it. I just have almost nothing.
It is kind of not a nothing movie, but you know.
Yeah.
If it's on, you know, TNT or whatever, as a you know, daytime movie offering,
you could certainly throw it on
in the background and then do something better with your time. Absolutely, I would definitely
absolutely. I don't think this movie is a waste of time, but if you watch the whole movie, it is.
It's like if you're spending your two whole hours, focused exactly on this movie. Bad move. You got this on your phone while you're working. It's pretty fun. Yeah.
That's fine.
It's all about perspective. And I think on this podcast, we really try and give you the right perspective on how to go about seeing movies. And sometimes the best way to see a movie is to actually watch something else and just sort of listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like some people, especially like film majors, will tell you have to see a film like in IMAX and you can't blink. And if you ever do anything else, like that's not the director's intention and therefore you're watching it wrong.
Man, who would ever accuse somebody of watching something wrong?
Absolutely true. Yeah, if you watch this movie as the director intended, you're watching it wrong. I think that you need to... I did so. I paid pretty close attention. It did take me 2 sit-downs to finish it because I almost fell asleep. But...
I mean, normally I think going to the theater is like a way better experience. Like, you know, I think a lot of people didn't like, you know, the Wonder Woman sequel because they watched it at home. Sure. But I watched it in the theater and I was like, wow, this is fun. This is a fine movie. I liked it more than the first one.
I've seen neither.
People really didn't like that second one, thought it was terrible. And I'm like, you just watched it at home. That's why, like, which is fine. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, but you know, that's why you don't like it. So,
I mean, sure. But, I haven't seen a Marvel movie since Avengers, I think. So I can't really speak on the quality of home viewing or not for that, but I assume like what do those movies cost? Like $700 million?
It's, I mean, sure, more than Mr. and Mrs. Smith, even accounting for inflation. But yeah, definitely. Like, I can't imagine people going to see this in the theater and being like, wow, you know. Whereas I think it does a lot better if your expectations of going into it are like, oh, this is going to be garbage.
Yeah.
Cause it's not that bad, but I think you're like, oh, I spent, you know, $10 in 2005 to go see this film in the cinema.
Yeah.
That's
it'll be fun.
A bad boy cinema in a bad way. You know what I mean?
I wonder if we could do this. Movies that came out. I'm going to see if I can find what was at the cinema weekend.
Oh, the weekend that this came out?
Mm-hmm. What was going on? And we got Madagascar. I don't know if this is just the year.
Yeah.
You know, organize this by release date. And now find me.
I remember seeing Madagascar, you know. I definitely...
Okay. The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl. The Honeymooners, High Tension. Howl's Moving Castle.
Okay, I mean, House Moving Castle is pretty good, but I think the rest of those were...
Yeah, not... these are movies that nobody has thought about since. I don't know, there's a lot that I've never heard of, such as Slutty Summer or McLibel. Or so the maybe Bridge this of was Sam... actually... Yeah, like, no wonder this did so well at the box office. Going up against the second best movie is The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl 3D. All right. What was the weekend before? You got Cinderella Man, Lords of Dogtown. That's kind of it. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Oh, I remember that movie being a big deal. Didn't that have America Ferrera in it?
Yeah.
It only took until her to get that Oscar nomination, right?
Yeah. But like after this Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, like the next year they're like, hey, you know, it would be great for you. You know, it's a great career move. What if you played Ugly Betty? What if you were the character named Ugly Betty? I mean,
she was great in Superstore. Now that was a show.
That is a show. Yeah, it looks like this, this weekend and the surrounding weekends, not that good. I mean, the next like 2 weekends, the best movie I'm seeing is Herbie Fully Loaded.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I guess this movie kind of just does well. Maybe not even because of the, you know, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston divorce. Maybe it's literally just, every other movie was fucking awful.
I'm looking at the year, like ignoring the legacy films, I'll say, like Harry Potter and Star Wars.
Right. Yeah.
You got Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Batman Begins and like War of the Worlds. I mean, not a lot going on here. I am kicking and screaming Will Smith. I mean, Will Ferrell, different Will.
Yeah.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Honestly, 2005 might be a horrible year for film.
Yeah, all these sound pretty bad. And even then, I saw Madagascar. I saw Star Wars. I saw The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know?
Yeah.
Many, many films in theater. And I guess I was seeing the good ones because those did better than... And Hitch, which I saw on the airplane.
Yeah, wow.
And yeah, if the movies that aren't for kids, yeah, weak, bad year for film.
Bad year.
Because I was like, wow, Hitch might be one of the best movies I've ever seen. And I had a feeling when we rewatch, when I revisit that film for this podcast, I'll be like, wow, this is awful.
Yeah, there's no way that is a good film.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some work right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm going to make a email address, one of those electronic mail addresses.
Yes.
And audience at home, email us with the best film of 2005, in your opinion.
I'm sure we'll get lots of good,
absolutely
good feedback for sure.
I have some bad news about the availability of certain usernames on gmail.com.
Well, we can get creative. We can call it, you know, throw in some ones in there. No. Call it Bad Boy Cinema Fan Mail at gmail.com. There you go.
Okay. I can do that. Bad Boy Cinema Fan Mail at gmail.com.
That works.
Done.
And that's where your fan mail will go, fans. So when you're listening to this podcast and you really want us to, you know, if you have suggestions for a film that you want us to, you know, cover, please send it in. We'd be happy to add that to our very vast list of movies. But you know, it's always good getting suggestions about what the people want. But also, you know, it's give us your thoughts on what we have to say as far, you know, if you think we were right. Tell us where you were when you were in the theater, you know, watching Mr. Well, I guess we know where you were if you were in the theater watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith in 2005. You're in the theater, but you know, how did you feel? Did you think it was even better then? You know, I would hope not, but
yeah. Do you have any lasting impressions from this film? Because I believe I saw this film in 2005, but probably not in theaters.
For sure, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
My
website needs my Telegram number.
Do you not have a phone?
I don't know the number. It's new. Yeah, Bad Boy Cinema Fan Mail at gmail.com. Sound off. Let us know what's up. Yo, what the heck?
We would love to hear what you have to say.
Absolutely would. I'm a little busy making this. What the hell? This is hard. It is hard to make a Gmail account. Shout out to people who make a new email account like every month to get like free Uber Eats.
Those people are deranged, in my opinion.
Insane dedication. insane dedication. For sure. Yeah.
Insane being dedication. A freak.
That's the episode. Sound off, Bad Boy Crimes fan mail at Gmail, Bad Boy Cinema. Bad Boy Cinema fan mail.
At gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
What crimes? What are you talking about? That's a weird concept.
It's because there's so many crimes in this film.
They do crimes against crimes.
My ears, folks.
Whew. And marriage crimes against Jennifer Aniston, maybe.
Yeah. R.I.P. Jennifer Aniston.
Sounds I mean, like but if like, I was her and I watched this movie, like, I would have killed myself.
Absolutely.
Like, how embarrassing would that be for you? And, like, I don't know what's more embarrassing, either getting the divorce or just, like, taking the L.
Yeah.
Like, there's... you know, you're just like, oh, you just live with that as your husband, like, is clearly so much happier with somebody else.
Yeah,
because you know what looks like when he's not acting, and you can tell he's not acting in that movie.
Yeah, there's zero acting in this film. It's just like beautiful chemistry between two titans of industry.
Yeah.
That is the episode, folks. Enjoy. Got another heater coming next week.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Goodbye.